Thursday, September 15th, 1999. This is the National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Pittsburgh chapter. We're here with Mina Cavalier, and the interviewers are Minna Nielsen and Angela Leibowitz.
Okay, first of all, we didn't get your birth date.
Oh, October 16th, 1928.
Okay.
I'll be 71.
Well, happy birthday. Yeah.
Thank you in advance. I'm going up to Boston to be with my son and future daughter-in-law.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll miss one another by about 2 weeks. I'm going right after Yom Kippur on the 21st. All right, now, can you tell us how you met your husband?
Sure. That's a joy. I was at the University of Pittsburgh as a freshman. My husband was Phi Epsilon Pi, president of Phi Epsilon Pi fraternity. And the Phi Epsilon Pis and the AE Phis ate and spent time together in the same booth in the tuck shop at the University of Pittsburgh. And I was an AE Phi pledge, and he, of course, was the president of Phi Epsilon Pi. And he asked me for a date, and I told him that I was busy. And he said he never asked a girl 2 weeks in advance. And I said, I'm very sorry, but I'm busy that weekend and the following weekend, and that was just bad. There was nothing I could do about it. But I did have a thought. I used to write for the Oakland News, which was owned by Max Kleckner, and he was a dynamic man, and all through high school, I did that as a job. I had a job. I worked for the Oakland News, and I wrote the teen scene. That was what it was called. And I always got tickets for the Pittsburgh Symphony. Knowing that I loved the symphony, he gave me all the tickets, usually gave me tickets. And those tickets were for a Sunday concert. And I asked Victor, if he would like to go, did he like the symphony? Did he want to go? Now, he was from New York. He was a New Yorker. He didn't own a car. And I, of course, didn't have a car. And he picked me up on McKee Place and said, yes, he'd like to go to that concert very much. He loved the symphony. And that was our first date. And when I went to go out, I asked my mother to look at the mirror to see, I thought he was short and that I might not be able to wear heels. The symphony in those days used to be right at Syria Mosque. And so it was a walk. We walked to the symphony. And she gave me the signal that he was taller than I was, and so I could wear heels and not have to wear flat shoes. But we did walk to the symphony, and then we took a streetcar back. There were streetcars in those days on Fifth Avenue, and that was our first date. And when I walked in the door, I said to my mother, it was a fabulous date. He is so intellectual and bright, and that's the man I'm going to marry. And she went bananas. She thought, how could I possibly know? But I did.
Before you got married?
Well, I married when I was a senior. I married 4 days after I graduated. We were pinned in my sophomore year, and in my junior year, we were engaged, and I married 4 days after I graduated.
So
I married June 18th.
Mm-hmm.
I was an advanced freshman. And he was, to my recollection, a sarcastic New Yorker, as only New Yorkers can be. And that's true. They are. And I had no knowledge of anything except that in those days, Phi Epsilon Pi was all Jewish and AE Phi was all Jewish, so you couldn't go wrong. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful 4 years of college because of Victor and the fraternity. I went to every game. I'm very sports-minded, and so he was. And they made him the captain of all the teams because he wasn't athletic, but he loved sports. And that's one of the things, great things we had in common besides fine music and fine plays and all that New York has to offer. He was unbelievably attached to ballet and was on the Pittsburgh Ballet Board. And so always we were at everything that the ballet did. But he had wonderfully eclectic taste and loved everything. And that was wonderful for me because if I didn't love it before, I loved it because he and I went together to everything, and including the travel. And that was an amazing thing to have been all over the world in the years we were married, 45 and a half years.
Now, when you were first married, where did you live?
We lived in the Tudor Hall Apartments on Center Avenue, which is maybe 3 blocks from the temple, from Road of Sholem Temple, and it was, Victor was teaching at the University of Pittsburgh. He was economics, finance, international trade. He was a professor, and he was also teaching at Carnegie Mellon Economics Department, and they asked, because we both were teaching at, I taught school, public school, but we both were teaching at Road of Sholem, because that was a way to earn extra money. They had religious school both Saturday and Sunday, and we taught both days in the morning. And then if there was a Pitt football game, we would go on Saturday afternoons. We didn't have tickets to the Steeler games, but very often we went with people who did have tickets. In those days, nothing was jam-packed that you couldn't get a seat at all. So because we taught at Road of Sholem, and that was an easy walk. We did not own a car for 5 years of our marriage. We lived in the Tudor Hall Apartments for 5 years, and I could get on the 7754 streetcar, which you don't know anything about, Angela. Are you a Pittsburgher? No. Well, there was, it's famous. Oh, a sarcastic New Yorker? I see. Well, the 7754 ran directly to my school, which was A. Leo Wow, and that was in the Hill District.
Excuse me, was that a public school?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I worked for the Pittsburgh Board of Public Education for 30 years, and I retired when I was 65.
What was the name of the school again?
A. Leo Wow. And A. Leo Wow is a famous Jewish educator, and he was on our board of trustees at Road of Sholem Temple from the very beginning.
Was that a secondary school or
elementary? It went from kindergarten through the eighth grade. In those days, there were no middle schools when I first started teaching, so I would get right off the streetcar in front of A. Leo Wow, and then go back on the streetcar. When you began with the Board of Education in those years, that would have been 1951, the first question asked by the interviewers, and you had 3 interviewers who interviewed you, was, do you mind teaching in a black neighborhood? And you knew, as a Jew, you better say, no, I don't mind it at all, because that's where they were going to place you. There was no question. That's where we were always placed in those years. That's the way it was. And that's one of the things that you learn to know through the School of Education. Now, I didn't do my undergraduate work in education. My undergraduate work was in sociology with a minor in economics and finance, actually. I thought I wanted to go to school social work, and I probably would have gone had I not married 4 days later. But their opinion was, in those days, you did your teamwork, your survey work, you had to do it at night. You didn't do it during the day, as they do now in the School of Social Work. And that would have been extremely difficult for a marriage, because Victor was teaching at Pitt and Carnegie Mellon, and there was no way. I couldn't have possibly gone to school in the day and worked at night. There would have never been no life for us at all. And I had a couple of aunts, or Victor had a couple of aunts, and when we spent our honeymoon, after we spent a month traveling through New England and Canada, and came back down to stay with his parents in his home in Laurelton, Long Island, which is on the island. And we did that because Victor was going to Columbia for his master's. And actually, it was for his doctoral credits. He had his master's at Pitt, and he got his master's when I got my undergraduate degree in 1950. And as I said, then we were married 4 days later. He went to Columbia for 2 summers. And those 2 summers, that first summer, his aunt said, they were school teachers, why don't you go into school teaching? That's a wonderful career. You'll be home at a normal time, and the two of you will have a life together. And I thought about it a little bit and decided, well, that's all right. I went for one more year at Pitt, which was very simple to do, and I also got free tuition because Victor was teaching at Pitt, and that was grand. And I went 1 year and an entire summer at Pitt and did my student teaching the second half of my second year, so that's the reason that I could begin teaching in 1951. It really only took me a year and a half. I also, the summer that Victor was at Columbia, I went to Adelphi and picked up some teaching credits there. So I was able to finish with all the credit that I got from my undergraduate work towards my master's, and I just had one more course, but they employed me. So that was really how I ended up being a school teacher instead of going to the School of Social Work.
Follow up. How did you feel about being placed in the Hill District because you were Jewish?
Well, for me, that was not a problem because I truly have no prejudices. I'm just that way, and I always was that way. I wasn't brought up that way. My mother was prejudicial, and I'm sure that if my father had lived longer, I would have gotten more response for what his feelings were, because in those days, Jews weren't always amenable to blacks, and that was a very big problem, I think. But I happen to be that kind of a person, and I have no prejudices, so it made no difference to me, and I laughed when they told me in the School of Social Work, well, be prepared. This is what they're going to ask you at the board, and whoever it is that's going to interview, whether they be Jewish, and there are very few Jews who were interviewing in those days. There were very few Jewish principals, and it was the principals, 3 principals, who interviewed all the incoming teachers. And I guess I answered the way they wanted me to answer, and they placed me at A. Leo Weil. It was going to be either end of the spectrum. It was either going to be A. Leo Weil or Lincoln Elementary, and you knew that was what was going to happen. I was fortunate that it was A. Leo Weil. It was a fairly new school, and it was a fabulous education for me. I had a dreadful principal who was a lay minister, and he was very prejudiced against Jews and very prejudiced against blacks, and it was the worst place for him to be. However, at the end of 3 years, I had had it with his prejudice opinions about things, and I transferred to Lincoln Elementary, and I taught third grade at both schools, and I loved third grade. Thought that was wonderful. Lincoln's all the other end of the 7754. It's in the beginning of Homewood, actually. Oh, okay. It's on between Frankstown and Lincoln Avenues.
How long did you teach?
30 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you have two children.
Twins.
Were they born while you were living?
In Tudor Hall. No. At the end of 5 years, we felt we could buy a house, and we naturally wanted to buy a house in Squirrel Hill because that was where most Jews lived that were our friends, people who had been in the fraternity with my husband and had been in the sorority with me. And that was when we felt we could start a family. Also, I had my 3-year certification, and at the end of 5 years, I conceived. But I had 5 miscarriages in the 14 years before we adopted the twins. And so each time I would try, first of all, I wasn't very fertile, and so I had a long period of trying all kinds of things with Will Feingold and Lou Myers, who happened to be fraternity brothers of my husband's, but were wonderful OB-GYN men. And they did, Will Feingold was in the forefront of doing fertility work. And I used to leave Lincoln Elementary, fly out to the hospital, to his office across from Montefiore Hospital, get my tubes blown open, and then they would say, well, you probably can conceive in July. And that's what used to happen, but I kept losing. And finally, after the fifth time, and each time after I would have a miscarriage, we would put in for adoption with a distant relative of my husband's who lived in Philadelphia. And he had an opportunity to get babies. And in those days, you could then. I guess you still could if you worked with a lawyer, but not as easily as in those days. And he, at the same time, all during those years, my husband was very active with Jewish Family and Children's Service and eventually became the president of Jewish Family and Children's Service. And it was in the year that he was president, one of the years of his presidency, that after we had kept putting in for adoption, then I would conceive. I didn't feel that was fair to somebody who could well use the baby, you know, have the baby and couldn't conceive. Then I would miscarry. Well, then you'd have to go through the whole process again. Finally, after the fifth miscarriage, and it was a bad miscarriage, I wasn't able to get rid of afterbirth easily, and so it would make for a problem. And so after that fifth time, when Lou Myers came in and said, next time she's going to carry, the longest I ever carried was to the end of the fourth month, and that wasn't really very long. And Victor just said, you have the next one, Lou. Lou did already have 4 children. He said, because I'm not going to put her through this again. And that's when we, in earnest, began to look at what was going on at Jewish Family and Children's Service. And it so happened that my twins were up for adoption, and we were next in line.
So you have a boy and a girl?
Twin.
Mm-hmm. They're twins, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when were they born?
September 25th, 1963. They're going to be 36 years old on the 25th of this month.
And how long did you live at this house?
Well, we were in the apartment for 5 years, yeah. And it was a studio apartment and had some wonderful times there. And we moved to our house after being married 5 years in March, and we lived there 43 years. I lived there 43 years. Victor lived there 42 years. I moved out a year after Victor died. It's a long time, 43 years. Wonderful house. wonderful neighborhood. It was Fair Oak Street, and I couldn't ask for a more wonderful life together with Victor because of all the circumstances that went in. We had, he was president of every major Jewish organization, and I was president of a lot of them also. And if I wasn't president, I was a vice president, and I loved working in that field. So it was the more social work in me, and that's the reason, truthfully, that it never bothered me that I was in black schools always. I really went from one to another. I retired when we got the twins. They were born in September, and I knew that they were mine by court action by December. And in December, we did a room, a nursery for them in our house, but nobody really knew, none of our friends. Two of our friends were really, had the knowledge, and they helped me do the room. And then I went with the nurse. They lived in a house on Whiteman Street. Jewish Family and Children's Service owned the house on Whiteman. And there was a wonderful couple who raised all these children that were up for adoption. And I would go there each day from school to watch her feeding them, or she would let me feed them. But I didn't know that they were legally mine until the court decided. They had to ask the mother, was that all right?
And how long did that take?
3 months. And I got them December 20th. It was my last day of school before the Christmas vacation. So my children at school wouldn't know that I was leaving. I was then at Homewood School, which is now the Montessori School. Well, I taught at Homewood Elementary, and that was first grade then. It was a special program for reading and children who had difficulty with reading. And I taught there for a year, and not a year. I was really there for 4 months, and then it was time to leave. I retired from teaching, and they didn't really know that there wasn't continuity. They just saw another teacher there when they came back. But because she stayed from January all the way through till June, it wasn't as disturbing as if I had just up and left and then they only had subs or something of that nature. They had a permanent teacher from then on. But I went, got the children, brought them home to the house, and we were having a gathering that night, and they didn't know that I had the twins upstairs. And that day, on my way to school, I mailed out the announcements of our adopting the two children. So the city was just agog with that, because everybody always asked us, "Oh my God, when are you going to have kids? What's wrong?" Now, they knew about the miscarriages, but people, want for you. They know Victor was just wonderful with children, and I was a natural, so how could it be that we didn't have children? Even they wanted to know, why didn't we adopt? Well, here it was. And when they ran upstairs and saw those two kids in that room that was all done in pink and blue, they just couldn't. I'll never forget the day.
How old were the children?
3 months.
3 months old.
Mm-hmm. I had them from birth, but you can't take them home from where JF and CS had their home. Now, we don't have a home there anymore because there aren't children to be adopted. It's very difficult to get kids.
Did you have any contact with the mother at all?
Mother died.
Oh, the mother died.
Mm-hmm. She put them up for adoption before she died, but I had no contact at all. That's not the way it works. You don't know any of that. You're allowed to know some details, which I did know, and that was for my own safety, to know what might develop. But they were both full term. She came before he did, 9 minutes before.
Oh, the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you retired before you went back?
12 years. 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And on there,
went back to work.
I went back as a full-time teacher. When they were going to be bat mitzvah and bar mitzvah, the September 30th or some date like that, near the 25th. I can't remember now the exact date. And I went back in September, and their bar mitzvah was the end of the month. But they were grown. I mean, to me, 13 is pretty old to be. I mean, for me, I stayed home those years. But you see, I never gave up teaching because I tutored at home. I had full classes every day after school and Saturdays and Sundays. So for me, it was just going right back. That was right after the strike. Pittsburgh had a very big strike. And then I got the employment. I got that job. And that's when I went to St. Kieran for a year. That's where I was when they were bar bat mitzvah. That was part of a federal program, Chapter 1, it was called. And it was a federally funded program for remedial math students. And then that year, that was phased out of St. Kieran's, both the reading and the math, because they didn't need it anymore there. They didn't have enough students who were really deficient in reading or math. And the program then, so you went where you wanted to go. I called Frank Smizek, who was a good friend of mine, and asked him. He was the principal at Reisenstein School, its first principal. They wanted it to be a Jewish principal because most of those people who were coming who were white were going to come from the Jewish neighborhoods. And he said, hey, yeah, we need a Chapter 1 teacher. Come on. And I went there. And that was middle school. Tough. 6th, 7th, and 8th grades.
Well, I take it that this school where you taught was a Catholic school?
First one that I taught after coming out of retirement, yes.
How did you feel about teaching?
Has no bearing on me. I told you I have no prejudices. I thought a lot of the things that they, you know, that they carry on about and that they're so fanatic about were strange. But since I was teaching there, I had to go along with what they were teaching. They knew I was Jewish. It made no difference to them. So happens the reading teacher was Jewish also. And the special reading teacher, the yes. Chapter 1 reading teacher. And neither one of us had any problems with that.
What was the public school strike about, and how long did it last?
Oh, it lasted quite a long time. It was a very bitter strike. We were striking for, I'd say, approximately 3 months. It was a very long strike, picketing and so forth. Now, I didn't teach then. I wasn't crossing a picket line, and nobody, I don't know anyone who would do that. They wanted a contract, a better contract, and they were going to strike till they got it. We've never struck like that again. That's the last big strike. So that was actually 1976.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you went on vacations. You took your children with you. Now, where are some of the places that you did go to with the children?
Well, for the first years,
when they were young,
since we have no water here in Pittsburgh, most of my friends always gravitated to Beach Haven, New Jersey, because that was a natural. There was the Pittsburgh contingent that was up further towards, if you know anything about Long Beach Island. It's a fabulous end of town. Philadelphia people, Jews, would go to Loveladies, and Pittsburghers always went up near between 14th and 18th is where we went. And summer after summer, we went for 4 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks. It just depended what our kids were about.
So this was every year?
Every year.